we are. Welcome back to Pax Europiana. I'm happy that you join, and we are discussing the second Cold War in this section of this podcast. And I'm have in the last one already discussed the situation with the rise of Putin to power, and then also the first phase of that Cold War. And in the last one, this was this time of the real hot phase, if you can say a hot phase of a Cold War. But it was very aggressive, of course, the invasion in Ukraine, the disaster which Russia did in Syria, the political interventions in the United Kingdom and in the United States, obviously. And now I would like to discuss about the phase after 2016. And I call this series the resilience of the West. Because think of the world from the Russian perspective. Yeah? When they did these major interventions in Ukraine, in Syria, to escalate this refugee crisis, they have invested heavily in getting a Brexit referendum for Brexit, and also they, and that's probably the biggest operational success for any foreign power in the history since Lenin was transported through Germany and funded it to have this Russian Revolution. I think that is the ultimate, greatest, most terrible activity. But to have Trump supported that he wins against Hillary Clinton in 2016 is certainly an unbelievable success operationally if you see it from the Russian side. Obviously, I think it was a terrible activity, but it was a great success and they expected some concrete results. There's no doubt. Removal of the sanctions, a pro-Russian American government, and you know, a general more dynamic Russian world, or a world more malleable towards Russian ideas. Yeah, and let's discuss now in this series, which I call Resilience of the West for a reason, how this all investment has paid off for Russia, and if Russia is really such a great and successful power, or in that all these investments have basically not carried these terrible fruits which some in Russia certainly hoped. Yeah. Let's see first of all the European situation. Obviously, the Brexit was a major loss, there's no doubt. First time a country has left the European Union, a major loss of market, a major loss of unity, and it's a very bad thing. But surprisingly, in the last moments after 2.5 years of struggle, it was possible, 3.5 years of struggle ultimately, it was possible to find an agreement with the United Kingdom and with this provisional trade agreement, which is ultimately an association agreement quite similar to Ukraine. It's like this, that economically there will be more costs and more pain, and it's of course a friction. I don't want to belittle the effects of Brexit, but ultimately on the bigger picture, more or less, you know, it's more or less the same. The United Kingdom is in NATO, and economically we will be very, very tightly connected. So, is it such a big victory for Russia? Well, let's see it after some years. There's of course the talk about stability of the United Kingdom and so on and so on. But we quite well managed to avoid a complete disaster here, and actually we have managed to put it in reasonable direction. So no big disaster here. Additionally, the effect this had after 2016, before 2016 it was quite paralyzed, the European Commission, but actually then there was quite a lot of activity. And it really focused the hearts and minds of decision maker and the resolve and the commitment to get progress done. Suddenly it was possible to do a free trade agreement with Japan. Suddenly it was possible to conclude one with Vietnam. Suddenly it was possible to conclude Mercosur. Obviously it's not ratified up to now, but Japan is ratified. Singapore is ratified. It is also Vietnam ratified. So these are major building blocks which were impossible for decades. It's quite impressive. And in many other areas, the resolve of unity, also the Brexit deal finally then in December 2020. I mean, these are major signs that Europe is really kind of improving and is getting its act together under the shock of Brexit. So ultimately, we will be having much more market access, we are much more united, we will be much more successful in the coming decade because of these trade deals, because ultimately the European Union is a WTO notified trade integration project. Also, when you look at this really dramatic migration crisis, and which was also initiated partly by Russia, but absolutely by the Russian proxy Assad and its terrible regime. So what happened? You know, there was, of course, major upheaval in Europe in the political system, but on the bigger picture, it was expensive, it was complicated. Yes, we have this AfD now in the parliament. It's a tragedy. It's a pro-Russian party. It's in all aspects pro-Russian. It's a real disaster, actually. I saw again today the Bundestag debate, the German parliament. What they say, they are definitely paid agents of the Russian state in every aspect, what they say. Yeah? They really call for Eastern integration with Russia, friendship with Russia, all this kind of unbelievable things, which I don't even want to repeat too much. Yeah? But okay, we have it. But you know, currently the opinion polls are not so good. Huh? So the big danger of a right-wing populist movement getting a major control of German governance, it's not happening. So also this kind of strategy didn't seem working so well for the Russian strategists who developed it. So let's come also to America and see that one. Oh, well, let's stay in Europe for a moment, excuse me. Yeah? The point is also that obviously the battle and the Cold War, the Second Cold War, very much about Ukraine. So the Russians have really invested also to have regime change in Ukraine again and, you know, to block Ukraine's Western integration. And, you know, currently Ukraine is really pretty committed in the constitutional rank. It's the commitment towards NATO and EU integration. Reforms go very well. The DCFTA was basically adopted then later in 2017, finally, or 16, yeah? Don't get me wrong. I have to take a look at it. But in September 2017, it was then put in force, so it was 16. No matter. What I say, it is an association agreement. So ultimately now what we have is Georgia, Ukraine, Moldova. Even when they have not the full status I would like to give them, and I call that they will be NATO members, EU members, that they adopt the euro, they are associated with the European Union, the same like the United Kingdom now is, because that's also an association agreement. So we are quite good on this one, and Ukraine is very committed to join the West. You read every tweet of President Zelensky. So I think there is no kind of big victory in real terms tangible. And when you look as well to America, obviously, you know, you can maybe support one pro-Russian president who is trying then to always be very nice to you. But America is not a one-person dictatorship, and it will never be. It's a multi-level with a lot of checks and balances, and it's a big superpower. It's the beacon of freedom. It's the fantastic best democracy in the free world. Yeah, obviously. Russia and the Russian asset Trump has made significant damage to the reputation of America, internally and externally. Of course, the Capitol riots are now the escalation of this. Yeah? But let's not overestimate his negativity, because America itself has moved on, and it has moved on economically. Trump made, it was not only Trump, it was the conservative majority. They've made these tax cuts. That was very positive. Two more countries have joined NATO, Montenegro and North Macedonia, That was very tricky negotiations, very complicated. It was a success. So two countries, Russia really didn't want to have in NATO, have joined NATO. So there is progress. And also when it comes to some conflicts, a very complicated one in the Arab world, for example, Israel got recognized by these four Arab states, yeah? And these are major achievements. And also Israel recognized Kosovo. That was also very important for peace and stability in the Balkans. So there is some progress, because America is not only one person. He did a lot of damage, there's no doubt, and I will come to that in a moment. But America has moved on and recovered from this crisis of 2015-16. And the effect, that Russia thought, we have our instrument implemented in the White House, and now everything will be monitored and steered by Russian interests. It has not happened in that sense, because America is simply a very big and, you know, very strong power, and it's not only the will of the president which decides everything. There is a parliament, there is democracy, and it's working. There is also an administration, and it's working. No doubt Trump did a lot of damage with his tweets, with his racism, with his xenophobic bullshit, which he put out. I don't want to repeat this word, and they don't come over my microphone here to you, but you know what I'm talking about. And ultimately, he did these terrible activities, inciting people to public violence and attacking the other institution. He's the executive in the person of the president, calling to attack the parliament and endorsing these activities of his followers. And that was, of course, a complete disaster. But here, it's a tragedy, and I don't want to say something positive about tragedies. But, you know, the idea that he does it, I don't know what kind of total blackout must have happened in the strategist who told him this, or he somehow got into a fury to do that. Because the effect of it is, the effect insofar is that everybody who is somehow tainted by the association with Trump is lost forever for the mainstream of the global public opinion. Remember what I said about the global public opinion and its significance in Cold Wars, but also in this confrontation. You see already there is nobody in the mainstream world, but even the most extremist of the populists in Europe, nobody endorses or comes out and says, well done, wonderful. Even the president had now to make a lot of statements that this is wrong, and he distances himself from that. So basically, with totally overdoing things, he has somehow tainted his whole legacy. The whole Make America Great Again, the whole kind of MAGA populism and everything else has been basically negatively tainted forever by these five dead people and the Capitol riots. So what a great strategy that is. Yeah? Ultimately, when you look, with this kind of enemies, I think maybe we can also say that, you know, the resilience of the West is not so strong because we have such enemies. But let's not belittle it. You know, he called really to a riot. He riled up the mob. It was very terrible. But on the other hand, the effect of it, that all his kind of legacy will be tainted forever. The only one, 2 times impeached, the only one who kind of tweets led to violence in the Capitol Hill, the pictures will in the minds of many. Obviously, they hurt American democracy in general, but they very much tainted his personal legacy of Trump forever in the eyes of anybody in the civilized and free world. And it will also break down this relation with the GOP. Maybe that's also my hope, because I have great admiration for the grand old party and all its achievements, from Lincoln to Reagan to the Bush family and so on and so on. There is great achievements in winning the Cold War, and we Europeans will be always grateful for the America led by many of the GOP presidents who have secured us from the Soviet Union, who have helped us to reconstruct after World War II, and who have helped us so much to stay free and develop in the last 30 years. And we were so successful together, obviously also with presidents from the Democratic Party. But there were a lot of them from the GOP, which were clear that we are in to win the Cold War. And we are always very grateful in Europe. And we hope this GOP will now win this power struggle against the populist rights, which has in a way overtaken, with the help of Trump of a vehicle, and the center-right-wing party of the United States, and the GOP, the Republican Party. And of course, you know, because the topic is resilience, the resilience of the West, I'm confident that our institutions, who are not just institutions like in an autocratic system, depending on the will of one person, but we are many, we are all smart, we are educated, and there are millions of clever, reasonable people in America, hundreds of millions of them, And in Europe, we are free individuals. We know what to do. We learn, we see, we inform ourselves. We can build opinions. And we know that something is not right when it's not right. And we can do these decisions. And we do it. And then these free individuals, they build institutions together. And they can adapt to crises because they are flexible. They are not one person depending, but there are really a lot of social strata behind it. Yeah? And so that makes up the resilience of our Western institutions. And we have been proven in many of the crises of the last 100 years, there is resilience, especially in the American democracy. But we have adopted the American model in Europe after the Second World War. Don't forget, it was your army liberating us. It was your officers re-educating and writing our constitutions, especially in Germany, in Western Germany, but in many of the countries of Western Europe. And it was your armies defending us and rebuilding us. And these ideas have come back now, and they are here. And we are one union of values, ultimately, between America and the European Union. And we are resilient. And we understand what happened with our systems in these complicated years, and we will now gradually regain the maneuver space, and we will be very successful together and united. And that's my story about resilience. I think in Russia, when they look back about this theory, they will see it about this period, the last 4 years, they will see it as the famous king Pyrrhus, yeah? The Pyrrhic victory, it's called. I hope I pronounce it well in English, but this is this king who won a lot of battles but lost the wars because he was exhausting all his energies and he was overextending himself. So this is exactly the story about this Second Cold War. I think we are entering now the decisive phase of overextensions of the Russian neo-imperial kind of pretensions and ambitions. They had their glory moment in 2016. They have now only had very mediocre results, and it's going to be much worse for them. If we do the right things, if we understand what happens, if we act accordingly, that means obviously, I will discuss this in the next podcast, about the EU joining NATO, about NATO-EU enlargement you heard already, but also about the free trade agreement with the US and the EU, and also economically to be much more united, to involve the whole free world in our institutions like OECD. I made the point already. And then I think the whole generation of Putin, Lavrov, this will also expire. They have an expiry date and the time will come. And so we will be, as institutions of the West, we will be resilient and we will also win this confrontation with hostile Russia to 2.0, and this will be the case. So thanks a lot for listening to Pax Europiana. I will then close this podcast here, this section, and to just announce the next one is EU to join NATO, and also then the TTIP and FTA debate, which was very timely today in the German Bundestag. And I think it's a good closure for this part, this section about the Second Cold War, because then I will discuss more about regional unification and regional integration projects, and I will go through all the 10 main regions of the world in the section number 5 of this podcast. So thanks a lot. Looking forward. Bye.